You have your Bibles this morning, open up to the book of Matthew. Today we're going to be in the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 7 today. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The title of today's message is Life Choices. What path are you on? Life Choices. What path are you on? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. God's word says this. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Listen to that one more time. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are a few who find it. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just look to you today, God. We want to bring you blessings. We want to worship you. We want to bring you praise, God. We just want you to work through us, Lord. God, I pray that you would use this service as a blessing to you, Lord. God, I pray that you would teach us, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and let us listen to the word, God, that you have prepared for us, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that whatever problems, whatever trials, whatever tribulations that we're going through, God, as hard as it is, Lord, that we might be able to follow the Bible and count it all joy. Because of you, Lord. God, we know that we can accomplish anything through you or with you, Lord. We know, God, that you are with us, and if you are with us, you'll never forsake us. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this service and every single person in here, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in a great way today, and every one of us will be touched, Lord, and leave here a changed man or a changed woman. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So today I have a deep message for you. I have a deep message for you today. It's so deep that it may make you question where you are in life. It may make you question where you are in life. And it's so wide that it applies to every single person on the face of the entire earth. Has anyone read the church sign this week? If you have, it asks an insightful question. You might see it on the display now. Says, is the road you're on going to lead you to heaven? Interesting thought, isn't it? Is the road you're on going to lead you to heaven? And so I want you to take a look inside your heart today as I share the message the Lord's given me. I want you to examine yourself, examine your life, and think about it. Is the road you're on truly going to lead you to heaven? You see, life is full of decisions, full of decisions. I mean, just take for granted how many decisions you had to make to get here today, right? You had to decide whether you were going to bathe or not. Did anybody make that decision? You had to decide if you were going to take a shower, a bath, or none of the above, right? You had to decide if you were going to put on clothes. Praise the Lord, all of you are dressed. I'm very thankful for that. You even had to make the decision of like, am I going to go to church or am I going to sleep in again? You had to make that decision. And so, praise the Lord. So there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. You know, in life, we're confronted with millions of decisions. Every single day, if you really think about it, you make lots and lots and lots of decisions. Some decisions aren't really important. They aren't life-shattering. They don't really change the focus of your day, like, what cup should I put my coffee in the morning? That probably isn't going to change your matter your day. Probably not going to have a huge impact on your life as long as it holds your coffee or your orange juice. But then there are other choices you make that are huge decisions that not only change your life, but may change the lives of others. Decisions like, should I really drive after I've had this to drink? Decisions like, should I have sex before marriage? Decisions like, do I want to go to college right after high school? Or do I want to enter into the workforce? Tough decisions. Should I get married? Should I have children? Where do we live? All those decisions are important. Those are big decisions that not only change your life, but the life of somebody else potentially. So I think about decisions. All these decisions we make. Some, like I said, are small and trivial. Others are huge and change the focus of your life forever. Well, the most critical decision that any one of us can ever make, that we all have to make, This is a decision you don't really have a choice about. You know, they say in the world that all the only two things you ever have to do is die and pay taxes, right? Well, this one has to do with the dying thing. And so the decision you have to make is, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? And so the scripture that we're talking about today is talking about two different paths. You see, as complicated as life is, there's really only two different paths, two different gates, two different destinations that you can end up when it's all over. The question is, which will you choose? So let's look back at the scripture here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. These two verses may be short, but they're packed full of information. So today I want to talk about the gates, I want to talk about the paths, and I want to talk about the destinations. So first though, before you can even get to a gate, you have to make a decision. Now many of you, when you walked into church today, you saw that interesting object in the path, right? It says wide, and it has a big wide gate. And it says narrow, and there's kind of a small little area. And you might be thinking, well, what is the pastor trying to illustrate? Well, I'm trying to illustrate exactly what we're talking about in the message today, is that you have a choice. When you walked up to that first thing in the church this morning, you didn't go through either side. What did you do? You read it. You had to think about it. You had to make a decision. Would you go through the narrow gate, or would you go through the wide gate? So let's talk about these two things. Let's talk about these two gates first. Let's look at the wide gate. At first glance, the wide gate is attractive. It's big. Anybody could fit through it. You could bring your whole family through the wide gate all at once. You could bring everything you're carrying, all your worldly goods. I mean, you could take a refrigerator through the wide gate if you want. You'd be in great shape, right? And the wide gate is attractive. Naturally, all human beings are attracted to the wide gate. Why? Because it's the path of least resistance. And that's the path that many of us want to take. And so as we see the wide gate, it looks pretty good. Now let's look at the narrow gate. The narrow gate is small. It doesn't really have any room for you. In fact, if you're more than 150 pounds, you probably have to turn sideways just to get through the narrow gate. You have to get through the narrow gate by making a little bit of what? Effort, don't you? Effort, yeah. In Luke 13, 24, Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter it and will not be able to. Jesus says, we have to strive to get through the narrow gate. And as you walked into the sanctuary this morning, if you took that narrow gate, you had to strive. It was uncomfortable. You were going to have to shift your position to be able to get through there. Well, the reason there's this narrow gate in the Bible is because it says it is hard to get through there. And it is narrow. So you know what that means? You can't bring any baggage with you. You could wheel an appliance through the wide gate, but there's no way you would get that through the narrow gate, would you, Sister Alva? No way. It wouldn't fit. And so you got to leave some baggage behind to get through the narrow gate. All those unforgiving spirits, you got to get rid of those things. All that self-righteousness you might have, that's got to go out the door too. There's no room for worldly treasures. You wouldn't be able to make it through that gate. It's tough to go through the narrow gate. It's tough to get through because we have to put Jesus first instead of ourselves. So now we know a little bit about the gates. There's one big one, one narrow one. What about the paths? As we stare at the crossroads and we're confronted by the two gates, the narrow gate and the wide gate, once we enter one of those gates, now we're on a path. And so which path will we choose, the wide path or the narrow path? You know what's interesting is I saw several people in the church this morning come in through the narrow gate. But when they left through the wide path. And that's interesting because that's what happens sometimes in life. We have a plan and a purpose. We want to follow God. We want to do the right thing. So we enter through that narrow gate. But then we give up. Something has happened in our lives, or we just give up altogether and we end up leaving through the wide gate. And the problem is narrow is the path that leads to life, and wide is the road that leads to destruction. You might say, well, Pastor, how can this wide path lead to destruction. I mean, really, isn't that kind of overspoken a little? No, absolutely not. The wide path, again, just like the wide gate, it's the easy path, the easy one to take. At least that's what it looks like the first time you see it. But the path is wide because there's many ways in our life that lead to destruction. You don't have to raise your hand for these things, but I want you to think about them, see if they apply to you. Has anybody ever traveled down Pride Avenue? Have you ever walked down Substance Abuse Street? Have you ever traveled down Materialism Way? Some may travel down Sexual Sins Boulevard. Many will take Hate Street. And a few will get off of Hate Street and go down Murder Avenue. Many, many people will walk down Apathy Lane. See, these wide paths have many ways they can take us. And you can still stay on the same wide path. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right to man, but in the end, it's the way of death. Just because it makes sense to you doesn't mean it's the right way. It's a path that everyone is going on because they feel like it's right. They're entitled. It's their right in their own eyes. The majority isn't always right, folks. The majority isn't always right. The majority laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the earth was round. The majority started slavery. That didn't turn out so well. The majority crucified Jesus Christ. The majority burned Christians at the stake. Do you want to follow the majority? The wide path is the one that most people will go on. It's the one that most people will encourage you to walk down. Why? Because it's the easiest. Everyone is on a path today. Which path are you on? The wide or the narrow? Next, let's look at this narrow path. The narrow path is small. It's tight. In order to go through this narrow path, it's a little restricted. Luke 13:24 says, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter it, but won't be able to. The word for narrow means difficult. It's going to be trying times. But you see, the narrow path, the narrow gate, access isn't denied for all people. Anybody can walk through it. Any of you in the church today could have walked through the narrow path or could have walked through the wide path. It was up to you. It's not denied to the people. It's open to everyone. But it's difficult to walk down that path because it's uncomfortable. It takes discipline. It takes desire. If you want to walk down that narrow path in life, that means you have to admit that you're not perfect. It means that you have to admit that you need help. And the only help you can get is from Jesus. It means you have to repent for your sins. It means you got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to earth to pay the price for your sins, that he died and rose again to conquer sin. You need to ask him to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. That's what it takes to walk down the narrow gate. It's a gate of trying. It's a gate of persistence. It's a gate of desire. Romans 10:9-10 says it like this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But many people won't choose that path. Do you know why? Because they want Jesus to be their Savior, but they don't want him to be their Lord. You see, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and I still want to go to heaven. Does that make sense? It's like a spoiled little child, right? Reminds me of a story I heard about a spoiled little child. Does anybody have any kids or had kids before? Are any of them been spoiled? You ever had that kid that runs inside and outside the house all the time? That was me. My mom used to tell me, you're letting all the air conditioning out. Either get in or stay out. Well, there's a story I read about a little boy. He was being a turkey. He wasn't behaving well. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And his mom looked at him and said, we just got back from Sunday school. How do you ever think you're going to get to heaven? And the boy said, well, I figure I'll do like I do at home. She said, what are you talking about, Nathan? He said, well, she was mad. He said, well, I'll go in. And then I'll go out, and I'll go in, and I'll go out. And just like you, Jesus will probably tell me, listen, kid, you're either going in or you're going out. And when he says that, I'll walk right in. That's how I'm getting into heaven. The mom started cracking up. She said, I don't know really if that's true. The truth is, we can't irritate Jesus into letting us into heaven, can we? No. You can't slap people into heaven. The only person that can get you to heaven is yourself. And you have to make that decision. Nobody else in the world can make it for you. The truth is, there's only one path to heaven. There's only one gate to heaven. And there's only one ending that ends in heaven. And John 14, 6 says it like this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There's a myth in our world today that says, you know, if you're a good person, you're going to end up in heaven. Because people want to go to heaven. They generally are excited about heaven. They want to go there. But the problem is they don't want to believe in God. Well, how can you do that? God created heaven. He created hell. You are the one who has to believe. You're the one who's got to make the decision. You can't say, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want any God there. That doesn't make sense, right? But that's what the world is telling you today. You can live any way you want, and you're going to have everlasting life in heaven someday. But it's just not true. It's just not true. If we're going to walk down that narrow path, we're going to have some discipline. We're going to have some desire. Think about it. How many times have you tried to walk down the narrow path, try to do the right thing, try to put God first in your life, try to live for the Lord, and then you have a friend or a buddy that comes by and tries to pull you off? Have you ever had that problem before? That happens a lot, doesn't it? They try to pull you off. Why? Because they don't want you walking down that path. They want you to be with them. And so you try to get them on your path. They don't want to go down that path. They want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. What do we call that? Selfishness, maybe. That's what they want. God says, no, you got to deny yourself if you want to come to me. So we know there's a narrow gate and a wide gate. We know there's a narrow path and a wide path. So where do all these things end us up at? What's the destination? Each one of these paths is going to place you somewhere at the end of life. You're going to go somewhere. Just how it works. Whenever you're on a path, it ends somewhere. And so each one of these paths are going to end somewhere. Talking about decisions, anybody ever seen the 70s show? I'm not going to give you all the hints. I want you to guess it. This is a game show that happened in the 70s. The host had now passed away. The host name is Monty. That's all I'm going to give you. It now has a new host. And the new host guy's name is Wayne Brady. Does anybody know the TV show, the game show I'm talking about? What is it? Let's Make a Deal. Yes, Let's Make a Deal. Exactly. Let's Make a Deal is a game that's all about decisions and destinations, isn't it? Think about it. When you start Let's Make a Deal, you're given some cash. And then with that cash, you got to decide, do I want to buy this box? Which one of these boxes do you want to buy? You want the little box, the big box, or this one? One, two, or three? $500, I'm going to sell you a box. So you figure, well, I didn't have any money when I walked in here anyway, so $500, I'll buy this box right here. Boy, you get excited, you open up the box, and it may have something great in there, like tickets to Hawaii. Or it could be a box of clothespins. You never know what's going to happen. But say it's a ticket to Hawaii. Then you get to make another decision. The game show host says, you want to trade this box for one of those doors? Door number one? Door number two or door number three? Boy, you could end up with a nice new car or a year's supply of sauerkraut. You never know what's going to happen. But the funny thing about watching the game is it's exciting to know what's going to happen. It's exciting to watch and see what takes place, right? We like to see other people win. And if we're honest, we like to see other people lose probably. But it's all filled with guessing because you don't know the end. You see, here you can know the destination. The Bible tells us the destination. By the path you choose, by the gate you choose, you will end up in one of these destinations. It won't be a surprise at the end. You will know. And so which one are you going to travel down? Let's see first where the wide path goes. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13 says this. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter into it. The wide path ends in destruction. Boy, that sounds like a lot of fun. You know what we call that place of destruction?
Hell.
Hell. Yeah, I know it's not popular. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it. But the truth is, that's where the wide path leads you. So you can't be surprised if you're on the wide path where you're going to end up. Because I'm telling you today. So, No more surprises. I ruined the story. I'm sorry. But yes, the wide road leads to a place called hell. And people say, well, I don't think hell is real. Well, you see, you can't have heaven without hell, and you can't have hell without heaven. Both of them are real. You could trust the Bible. It's been written over periods of thousands of years. Or you could trust your other buddy that's already on the wide path. It's up to you. Again, the decision is in your court. Which will you choose? But I do want you to know a couple things about what the Bible says about this place of destruction, so you can make your decision. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says this: they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. So, they never wanted to spend time with God, now they won't have to. Never will be able to have a chance to have a blessing from God again. So maybe that makes some of the people happy that don't want to follow God. But listen to Revelation 20, verses 9 through 11. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, but fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I say, well, oh no, Pastor. I don't want the God thing, but I do want to go to heaven. Well, you can't do that. You either pick God and you go to heaven, or you don't pick God and you go to this place. I wish that's where it's ended, but there's something else I got to share with you. Later in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 6 through 8, it says this: and he said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give the drink without cost from the spring of the well of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Boy, if you choose the narrow path, that's your blessing. But listen to this about the wide path. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the ones who practice magic arts, the adulterers and all the liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Folks, hell's for real. There's no sense denying it. All I know is I surely don't want to go there. I don't know about you. The good news is you have this other path you can take. That's what Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 says. Listen, it says, small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, but only a few finds it. Jesus tells us this narrow road, it leads to life. It leads to eternal life in heaven. Heaven is real. Think about what path you're on today. Think about why you chose to walk to the wide path this morning to get into the sanctuary, or why you chose to go through the narrow path to get into the sanctuary today. Just like hell is real, so is heaven. Listen to this in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and he will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have all passed away. Someday, if you choose that narrow path, the place it's going to end is eternal life in heaven, where there's no pain, no suffering, no sin, no mourning. Can you even imagine a place like that? I can't. Because earth is filled with sin. Earth is filled with pain. It's filled with suffering. I can't even imagine how awesome heaven's going to be. But that's not all heaven has to offer. Listen to this in John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus saying this. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God, Jesus is building a place just for you. Just for you. You ever lived in a mansion here on earth? You ever lived in a perfect world? Sounds pretty exciting to me. The thing is, you get one life. That's it. It's not like a video game where you have three lives and you respawn and all that stuff. You get one. One. Look at your life today and ask yourself, what am I doing with my life? Am I happy? Think about the choices you made to get you to where you are today. Are they good choices? Are you stuck in some dead-end job you never wanted? Did you marry the wrong man or the wrong woman? Did you move to the wrong city or the wrong town? Are you happy with your choices in life? Do you have a lovely husband or a lovely wife? Do you have a lovely family? Do you love the Lord? The only person in control of your life is you. That's it. No one else can force you to do anything. You make that decision. And just like you make that decision about your life, you have to make the decision about the path you're going to be on. Your friends can't make it for you. Your family can't make it for you. You have to make it. By default, you're on the wide path. That's where human nature takes us. So what decision are you going to make today? Life is full of decisions. But this is one decision you can never avoid. This is the only one that you're ever going to make that controls your eternal destiny. I want to ask you one more thought as I close today. Why don't you all close your eyes with me for a minute? It's kind of warm in here. Close your eyes for a minute. Think about this. You're out in the middle of a beautiful field. A beautiful field. You see flowers. You hear the rushing wind. There's clouds in the sky. Warm sun shining down on you. The temperature's about 75 degrees. It is just beautiful. And you're getting ready to eat a picnic lunch. So you decide you're going to sit on this train track, teach your picnic lunch. Life is calm, it's beautiful. But all of a sudden, you hear a sound coming. And you know it's a train. You can make one of three decisions. One, you could totally ignore the train and live like it's not coming until it hits you and kills you. Two, you could say, well, that train is a long way off. I still have time. If I just finish eating my lunch, I'll wait till it gets a little closer. The problem is you're still sitting on the track. Or three, you can heed the warning. You can get off the track and you could save your life. You can open your eyes. Only one of those options is going to save your life, and that's option three. That's getting off the track and heeding the warning. Consider the message I gave you today, the warning. The train is coming. Every minute, every day that we're alive, we're closer to eternity. It's sorry to think about it this way, but it's true. Every second you live, you're closer to death than you were before. What are you going to do on that track? I don't know when the train's coming. Matthew 24:36 says, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. I don't know when the train is coming, or I would tell you. But I do know that it will come, and that's why I'm giving you the warning. Life is about choices and the freedom to make choices. God loves you so much that he didn't take away the ability for you to choose. God does not send people to heaven or hell. He doesn't. God never has sent anyone to heaven or hell. God loves you enough to give you a choice. A loving God's not going to make people go to heaven that don't want to be there with him. But the choice you make is going to determine your eternal destiny. You can choose the narrow path today that leads to life. Or you can choose the wide road that leads to destruction. And you know what? God loves you enough that if you choose that wide road, he will let you make that choice with a heavy heart because he loves you. But he'll let you make that choice. So the question I present to you today is the same one that has been on the sign. As you sit at that crossroads of faith, which way will you go? Is the road you're on today leading you to heaven or not? Now is the time to make a decision. Which road are you going to follow? We don't know how far the train is away, but sooner or later it will come in every one of our lives. Will you stay on the tracks and continue eating your lunch and end up on the road that leads to destruction? Or will you step off the tracks jump on the narrow path and go the place that leads you to life. Only you can decide. Only you can save your life. And only you can choose your eternal destiny. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a heavy message you've given me today, Lord. But I believe every single person on the face of this earth needs to hear it. God, we can only be on two roads. Are we on the wide path that leads to destruction? Or are we on the narrow path that leads to life? God, it's not too late. We're alive. We're here. And so, God, if we're on that wide path, if we're walking down sexual sin street, if we're walking down the boulevard of pride, if we're going down these places we shouldn't be, God, we can change. It's not too late. But, Lord, we got to get on the right path. Help us to make that decision today, Lord. Do we want to be on the narrow path that leads to life or the broad one that leads to destruction? Whoever needs to make a change in their life today, God, I pray that they would just not even know that anybody else in the room is here but you. I pray, God, you give them the courage to come out to the altar today and say, Lord, I want to make a change in my life. Lord, I'm on the wide road, God, and I want to go to the narrow road. God, give them the strength to do that, to come. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says it like this: in my time of favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's salvation. Now is the day of salvation. There's no reason to wait any longer. If God is calling you to jump off that wide path and jump on the narrow path, let's do it now. Let's make that decision before the train comes. If anybody needs to come and pray, you're welcome to pray at this time. There's still time. Don't let the service slip away without making your decision.